Hello. It's a superb Wednesday evening. We are super excited and grateful to be alive. Alive and well, well enough to be back on your radio, loud in your ears, bringing you another session with an impactful woman. You're live on Joy 99.7 FM, listening to your favorite Strong and Sassy with me, Noella Karen Yali. Today on the show, we are continuing our series of celebrating impactful women, women trailblazers, women who are challenging the status quo, women who are beautifully impacting and contributing to our society. And it is our aim that while we celebrate these women, it, you know, serves as a source of inspiration and encouragement to any and everybody to follow suit. And our focus today is on the delectable, amiable, and of course, gracious Reverend Sister Justina Kwachiwa Ikia Osei. Jacinta. Yes. That's right, Jacinta. I mean, your name is beautiful.
Thank you.
I mean, it's really pleasing to the ear. What tribe are you?
Anakan.
You're Anakan?
Yes, please.
Achim. Awesome.
But the name
awesome.
Originates from Portugal.
Portugal?
Yes.
Oh, what's the story behind that?
It's very simple. One of the 3 years of Mary
right.
was Jacinta.
Okay.
So my mom named me after
okay.
that little
oh,
angel.
Yeah. I see. Awesome.
And it means blessing.
Blessing.
Yes, please.
I see. We're so happy to have you here. And so honored that you also accepted our invitation. I mean, you've traveled all the way from Cape Coast.
Yes, please.
How was that journey like?
A bit tired.
Really?
Because they're working on the roads, so
okay,
it was a bit hectic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Charlie, thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, to have, you're a big woman, so to have you spare us 1 hour of your very busy time, we are so grateful to have you here.
Nice having me too.
Awesome. So we are live on Facebook, Joy 99.7 FM. You can join us. And if you're ready, I mean, there with us, I'm sure you can see how, you know, Sister Jacinta yeah. has displayed her laurels. One of it is from the just ended Joy News Impact Makers Award. And another she won last year in Dubai. And she's very, very proud of them. I see how, you know, you actually said, you know what, I brought my awards.
Yes.
And so please display them for me. I mean, you want to tell us anything about, I mean, did they make you feel special, these laurels?
Oh, yes. In fact, it urges me on
right.
to continue with the good works I've been
right.
doing. Yes.
Right. But for women like you who are so passionate, you know, about the things that has to do with humanitarianism and, you know, helping the needy and all of that, are you self-aware of everything that you do and are you able to, you know, keep track of them?
Yes, I'm that type. So whatever activity I embark
right.
on,
right.
I make sure I document.
Okay.
I build those on those things.
I see. Uh-huh.
So right from day one,
yeah.
if you should ask me, from the very day I was posted to my very first station,
yeah.
I have records of all the documents on it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So whatever you need them, I can just produce them.
Okay. Do they serve as some kind of pump?
Not really, but I look back.
Mm-hmm.
Considering where I was mm-hmm. and where I am now.
Right.
And the strides I've been able to make.
Right.
So I keep records of those days.
Right.
Yeah.
So Sister Jacinta is going to tell us all about us and more, her and more. But as a teaser, let me tell you a little bit about her. So she is currently the HDR leader for France Care for Networks, a distinguished educator at St. Francis Senior High and Technical School in Akim Oda. And her unwavering commitment to education and humanitarianism has earned her numerous accolades, including the prestigious Global Education Supplies and Solution Awards, which was held in Dubai in 2023, where she was honored as the overall winner. Now, that's not all, okay? She also got recognized as the first runner-up for the Ghana Teacher Prize in 2021, the second National Best Teacher in 2015, and the second Eastern Regional Best Teacher in 2013. And the cherry on top was her being acknowledged and honored at the Join News Impact Makers Award. At this point in time, I expect a whoop, 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 whoop.
Wow.
I mean, you have such a rich profile. Very, very rich. I mean, did you, when you set out to do some of the things that you've done, did you really look out to being celebrated as you have been?
No, please. In fact, it was my joy serving humanity. Mm. And at the end of the day, God has blessed me with a number of laurels.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're all the things I have mentioned and more.
Yes.
But today we want to zoom into the person Sister Kwachua is.
Okay.
When nobody is looking, when no one is watching, who are you?
Thank you, my sister. Good evening to you and to your cherished listeners and viewers as well. Jason Taikia Kwachua Osei, born in Akima Pradi, or Achim Apradi, in the eastern part of Ghana. I had my basic education over there. Then from there, I proceeded to Achim Achiasi Secondary School.
Right.
That time it was senior secondary. Then from there, I went to Ola Teacher Training College, currently Ola College of Education in Cape Coast. Then I completed and I was posted to one of the less endowed or deprived community, or same. So from where I was staying to that place, I had to walk 5 miles in and out daily. Then from there, I was transferred to Apro Kumasi Primary School. Apro Kumasi is also in the Manso across Wasene district. Formerly, it was part of Brim SAF. That is where we have the biggest tree in West Africa. I taught over there for 2 years. Then I had to move to Asamoankese. I taught over there for 2 years again. Then I had a desire to pursue religious vocation. So I had to enter the HDR postulancy at Akwetia. I spent 1 year over there. Then I had to go for another formation in Koforidua, the HDR novitiate. So upon completion, when I became a temporary prophet sister, when I was given this medal, the chain I'm wearing, signifying that I've professed temporarily.
Right.
Then I was re-engaged back into the teaching profession that I had to be posted to Akim of Fumase. That's the Achimansa district. I taught over there for 9 years. Then 2018, I was being posted again to St. Francis Senior High, where I'm working currently. Jacinta Kwia Kwachua, in my quiet, I love to be with children. People might be wondering, you wanted to play with children. Why is that you don't have children of your own? But the number of kids I've taken care of and those that I'm still caring for is just uncountable.
Right.
And for me, my joy is to make other people happy. Whenever they are happy, my job becomes complete.
Right.
Considering my background, when growing up, realizing that my mom was well-to-do, then all of a sudden she became paralyzed for 13 good years.
Wow.
It took the intervention of other benevolent people for me to pursue higher education. It was not rosy at all. But always it rang in my ears what my mom told me.
What was that?
She said in our local dialect, Ekwia, Mia weniwi dumpi. Nadachi umberi nam. Literally, she was encouraging me to chew bones at that time so that at the latter part, when I get the flesh and I'm chewing, it will become very easy for me. It was a parable. By that time, I was not trying to understand the concept. So I argued with my mom, I will not chew any bone, I will not chew any bone. But today, looking back, I've appreciated what the old lady told me. I quite remember even getting to Teacher Training College. A teacher who has been posted to my community gave me her Achichidiechi cloth.
That was
our outing dress.
Okay.
Achichidiechi, green cloth. What she wore for 3 good years.
And completed.
Completed.
She gave
and
it
came
to
my community. That was what I also used for 3 years.
Wow. Do you have that cloth? Is it still
I
there?
I still have it.
Wow.
Yes.
You should have brought it along.
Oh, yes. I still have it. Then one elderly woman, may her soul rest in peace, Madam Agata Bimpong, also gave me an old chopbox. where I had to pack my few items. For me, I couldn't go with, apart from garri and sugar, because my mom couldn't afford. She was now recovering. And we were not having any other means for her to take care of me.
So she got paralyzed during your senior high school?
No. I was just about 6 years old.
Oh, okay.
I was very young at a tender age.
Okay.
She was bedridden for 13 good years. So few individuals, benevolent people, took care of us.
Mm.
So for me, my joy is extending a helping hand to the poor and the needy.
Mm.
So I've been taking care of the aged, the sick, the youth, especially the girl child. Prisoners. In fact, that is my joy.
Mm.
Not to get anything in return, but just to extend a helping hand to them. And that makes me happy.
Right. But let's circle back to your teen years. What kind of teenager were you?
I was not quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not disturbing my mom too.
Mm. When you say you weren't quiet?
I mean,
were you hip? Were you bubbly? Were you exciting, fun?
Yes.
Okay.
Those days, I used to fight the boys around.
Okay.
I was that type, the extrovert type.
Okay.
So you will not step on my toes and I will allow you, to go scot-free.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So I used to fight the boys in my vicinity a lot. I used to play with them, move about. But for my mom, she will not even allow you to move out at all hours.
Mm-hmm.
So once you are back from school, you are indoors.
Okay.
Unless you've been sent out, you can't go anywhere. So I was sharing it with a colleague that, hey, people have been attending clubs, whatever. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get an opportunity.
Oh, so you never attended?
No.
Oh.
Even this concert or cinema or whatever they will be showing, she will not allow you to go.
Oh.
Yes.
So you never had any dancing, your court dance, that kind of experience?
That's
the crowd.
That'd be. Apart from us already.
Don't you think maybe life robbed you of some of the exciting things that as a teenager you should have gone through, you know, as, you know, for experience, looking at the kind of life you have also chosen for yourself. Not nakadachi bi ubenye bi akachu bi say, you know, yeah, I've been through it all, but yeah, I decided to also dedicate myself to God.
I think the decision my mom took for me at that time was perfect. Because according to her, at a very tender age, I think I was in state three or so, when my class teacher came to her in the house to inform her that I used to write about becoming a reverend sister in future. That man was an Adventist, Mr. Mauto. He's still alive. So my mom took it to heart. Even though at that time I haven't even set eyes on any religious.
At what age was this?
Around that age, before my mom became paralyzed. Okay. I was very young. So for her, she did all she could to protect me.
Okay.
Because in our vicinity, a lot of girls were becoming pregnant every now and then. And it's like their parents were there, but they were not having that parental control.
Okay.
So for her, she decided that since she couldn't pursue higher education, she would make sure that her case gets better with regards to education. So she wouldn't allow you to mess up.
So certain experiences like, you know, your first boyfriend.
Oh, no.
And all of that.
That lady crowd will not even permit you to. You will not. You will not even dare.
Oh, I see. So I'm going to ask a very direct question.
Okay.
You're a virgin?
Yes, please.
Wow. And, you, I mean, are you okay? I mean, don't you feel like...
I'm okay.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, I asked you that because, you know, as women, every month we go through a cycle.
Yes.
And one of it is ovulation.
Yes.
And during that period, I mean, our sexual urge, it goes high.
Yeah.
It's natural. It's something that God created. Given who you are, how do you keep yourself together?
It's as simple as that. Even a religious life, that's why we live in communities.
Mm.
You know, it's something that is based on our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that power to control our emotions.
Right.
So once you are sitting there idle, you may be thinking about those things. But once you engage in other activities, so you have other hobbies you can engage in.
In my free time,
I've been working on my crochet work, flower garden, and a whole lot. So I'm always engaged. I don't even have time to relax to that extent that I will be concentrating on those things. Even though I'm a human being, because even before we accept you into the religious life, you have to go for a medical checkup. For them to be sure that
you're a virgin.
Yes.
Right.
And In fact, you have to. It shouldn't be like because you cannot even reproduce. That's mm-hmm. why you want to find shelter here. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. You should be a woman okay. of good standing before you okay. be accepted.
But I'm sure you made prior to maybe you entering into or deciding to mm-hmm. becoming a reverend sister, mm-hmm. you probably have friends who, quote-unquote, are in the world, right? Mm-hmm. Do you have friends who are not necessarily towing the same lane as you are?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes, you know,
because
when women...
Because I have mates right. and other colleagues out right. there. Uh-huh.
So sometimes when you meet them and they're having conversations and, you know, well, you know how when women meet, they talk about all kind of things. Don't you feel left
type.
Out?
I'm the open type. So at times I join the conversation.
Okay.
Then even though you can't laugh, we all laugh over it.
Oh, I see.
At times, even in my presence, somebody will say that, hey, sister is around. Yeah. You're talking about ABCD.
Yeah.
But we'll just brush over it. Then we laugh okay. over it. Then we move on.
I see. Interesting.
So I'm okay with that.
Let's talk about your Damascus experience.
Okay.
Right? And it's important we talk about it because, you know, Christianity today has been portrayed to be for only the holier
than thou,
you know, people who are without sin, or at least try at, you know, having a perfect God-like life. And it's important that we also let people know that God is for everybody.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter your background. So tell me about your Damascus experience.
Oh, okay. For me, I think Christ came for all of us, especially we sinners. Mm-hmm. And in our imperfection, God tries to reshape us. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to look down upon any other person
right.
because you are this or you are that. Mm. In fact, we are all struggling to get to the apex. We've not gotten there yet. Mm-hmm. For me, I had my vocation at a tender age. Mm. So I was itching or eager to join a religious congregation. So I quite remember when I came to visit the sisters at Suidro, then they told me, oh, you are too young. Mm. You have to go through secondary education, probably get some job to do before you can join us. Mm. I didn't even understand them because I was itching to join them. So right from there, I used to visit them when I'm on vacation. Then when I completed teacher training college, quickly I ran to them. I wanted to join them. Mm. But they says, no, still, you need to get a job. You need to secure a job because we are all females. And per our constitution, we must work so that we can bring our resources together right. to take care of ourselves. So you can't just be in the community without having any profession. Mm. So I had to go for post-secondary education. Mm. So right from there, it follows in that order.
If you had your way, you would have skipped education and go straight into...
convent before maybe pursuing higher education.
Okay.
Because at that time, I was having that desire to join them there and then.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But for them, they thought it wise that, no, you should get a profession before you join us. Mm. And my mom and dad were staunch Catholics. My late father and my mom, staunch Catholics. According to my mom, she wanted even to become a reverend sister.
Did you meet your dad?
Yes.
Okay.
He died just 5 years ago.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But
so in your mom's paralysis and everything, where was he? Was he around?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Okay.
He stood behind her.
Okay.
Awesome. Even though he was not well to do. Mm. You know, those days, my mom was the breadwinner of the family. Mm. So she was selling few items to bring money to the table. My dad was an agric extension officer. He was posted to the northern part of Ghana, which he refused posting.
Right.
And for that, he had to quit the job. So he came back to farm. Mm. He was just farming. And for him, for food, food stamps we were having. Mm. But times, even money to buy fish, money to buy even other ingredients to make the food rich, we're not having.
Okay.
I quite remember some few times we have to prepare just raw cassava, cooked cassava, boiled cassava. Then we'll be eating. Mm. At times, if we have pepper, we have to grind and be licking pepper here and there, drinking much water.
It was tough.
Yes, just to get our tummies full.
Right. But you mentioned that your both mommy and daddy were staunch Catholics.
Yes.
Don't you think you were conditioned to choose the life you have chosen and not necessarily what maybe if you had the opportunity to grow up differently, you would have chosen a different route?
Not at all. Mm. They never had any influence on my choice of vocation.
Okay.
For my dad, he was even the quiet type.
Mm-hmm.
It's my mom who is the extrovert type.
Okay.
So for her, when I took that bold decision that I wanted to enter the convent was when she came into the scene.
Okay.
And even with that, other opposing team were there just to persuade her not to allow me because they were expecting me to reproduce and give her grandchildren.
Right.
So why do you allow your daughter to go for such a... My mom said that's her choice.
Mm.
So none of them prevented me from pursuing my religious vocation.
Mm. So let's continue your Damascus. You didn't complete it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So because I'm coming from that background, it was not difficult for me at all.
Mm.
I was already engaged in the religious activities.
Right.
So I just continued from there. And that is how far the Lord has brought me.
Okay. So after you established yourself as a teacher, what was next? What happened next?
Okay. When I was posted to Osenhu, that was when I began my humanitarian activities.
Okay.
Because it was a deprived community. And some of the kids were not even having school uniforms. They were not having writing materials.
Mm.
So I told myself, I've been through this.
Mm.
And the little support I have to help them.
Mm.
So at that time, I was taking my salary. The salary was coming to me. Unlike now, when it has to go into a common fund. But that time, because
your
I was...
Your salary goes into a common fund?
Yes.
How's that?
That is per our religious... our constitution, we put our resources together in one pool so that we can share amongst others and even take care of other people.
So you work every month, but you do not get your salary?
No, the salary is not for me. It's for the entire congregation. And the HDL you mentioned is a acronym for my congregation.
Okay.
Handbase of the Divine Redeemer of Accra.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So that's the simplest form, HDL.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So we'll talk more about why you're not taking your salary and how you keep up with your personal needs.
Okay.
But let's go back to when you got into
the teaching
convent.
Profession.
No, the convent.
Okay.
After you had established yourself, pursued higher education and everything, when you went back to the convent, take me through the processes you went through to becoming a sister. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So the initial stage, you have to go for postulancy formation.
What's that?
And postulancy means come and see.
Okay.
So that is the very first stage. They invite you there. You have to come and live with them to adjust, to make sure you'll be able to live the life.
Mm.
It's not as easy as we see it. Because
what
we are all coming
easy?
From different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And we have different orientation.
Mm-hmm.
So for females coming together to live under the same roof is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be rubbing shoulders here and there. So we have to go through series of activities.
Mm.
To reshape you.
What are some of these activities?
Oh, we go through religious activities. We pray. We work. We share things in common.
Mm.
So normal life, what other people have, it's like boarding house.
Mm.
So that's what we do.
Mm.
So in the morning, we have a timetable there. We have time for prayers. Maybe morning prayers, which is the Laos. Then maybe we'll go for breakfast or even mass before breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll have lectures.
Mm.
They bring resource person on board to come and teach us religious life, Christology, Mariology, and the rest.
Right.
Uh-huh. Scriptures and the whole lot.
Mm.
So we are not just there.
But aside that, I mean, the rules one must follow. I mean, we already know, I already know two of them, which is you cannot, you know, give birth. You cannot marry.
Yeah.
But aside that, what are some of the, you know, very hard rules that you must abide by?
Okay.
Maybe you won't see it as hard, but yeah, from my perspective, yeah.
We call them evangelical councils, and they are three.
Mm-hmm.
So we have poverty, we have chastity, and we have obedience. So with the poverty aspect, you are supposed to lead a modest life.
Okay.
So even though you may have the things over there, but you need to make judicious use of the things.
So the modest life, does it include not wearing some of my wig?
I can't
the
put
lipstick?
This one because I'm wearing veil.
Okay.
I've already covered my hair.
Okay.
A little girl asked me, sister, why are you not wearing earrings?
Earrings, yeah.
When I'm in mufti, I'm permitted to put on earrings.
Okay.
But this is something like a uniform.
Okay.
I'm wearing and I'm not supposed
You're
to
not
put
supposed
on earrings.
To. Yeah. I see.
Then we have the chastity aspect.
Mm.
That one, you share your love with all of mankind.
Right.
So you don't get glued to individuals, especially the opposite sex, to enter into that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the obedience. For obedience, you submit to superiors.
Okay.
So when your superior says this, you must follow.
Mm.
That is the life.
So of these three, which of them were maybe a bit tough for you to adjust to?
I would say that the most difficult one is obedience.
Okay.
Because when it comes to chastity, when it comes to chastity and poverty, that one,
it comes to you easy.
To you, but obedience is coming from external authority.
Okay.
And at times you might think that you also have other opinions to share, but superior said this, and you must follow.
Right. And how many years has it been since you decided to take this lifestyle?
I took my first professional vows 15 years ago.
Wow.
And the initial training was 3 years, so 18 years
18
now.
Years.
Yes, please.
Has it been worth it?
Oh, yes. Very.
No regrets?
No regrets at all. At times, I do have some challenges here and there.
What kind of challenges?
The challenges normally comes with these authority issues.
Mm.
Because you might think that you can also share your views regarding some of the issues and concepts.
Mm-hmm.
But when authority says this or that, you must comply.
Right.
So at times you feel like, am I at the right place?
Mm-hmm.
Should I go and come back or should I look further? But so we are here.
If you had the opportunity to not change, but modify anything about what young sisters must go through or abide by before they become, you know, reverend sisters like you, what would that be?
Oh, I would think that, or I would say that maybe they need to have a series of orientation sessions for them.
Okay.
To make them abreast, become abreast with the trends, because how we live our life out there is not the same thing as the life we live at the convent. It's totally different because you must follow rules religiously. Out there, we are on our own. You can do this, you can do that at your own pace. But with religious life, you must submit to superiors. So you must follow rules and regulations. At times,
discipline.
Yes, discipline. If you are not disciplined, you cannot. Even though we do organize, how do we call it, a retreat for them, I think we can even amplify that particular measure so that it will equip them, prepare them well. Because some people even enter and at the end of the day, they're unable to persevere because maybe they didn't know much about the life. So a series of programs must be organized for them to equip them fully.
So of some of the instructions from your superiors that you had to obey, which of them was very hard? I mean, want to share any of the experience?
At times, with issues like maybe permission seeking. You know, we have information giving and permission seeking. And at times you may want to go out.
Right.
Maybe something you didn't plan, but all of a sudden there is an issue and you want to go out. Then you have to go and tell your superior that maybe, sister, I'm going to this place and come. The sister will ask you, are you telling me or you asking for permission? So if it's permission, it means you should have pre-informed here. Can I? So even the tenses here and there. So we had to go through some of those things. But it toughens us.
Yeah.
It's part of the life. It's like the normal life we live. It's never rosy.
The way you have served God and dedicated your life fully to Him, do you think you would have had that same dedication and passion to serve Him if perhaps you had kids and was married?
Not really.
Why do you think so?
Not really, because if I'm with my husband and kids, to me, I can still serve God, but not to that extent. Because for now, because my whole life is for the service of humankind, I'm able to move out here and there to touch lives. But if I'm with my family, first of all, I must attend to them first. Because there is another day, you see, about them at the Fifi. So I have to attend to my immediate household first, mm-hmm. and it will hinder some of my programs. Mm-hmm. But this one, it's like I work alone type of life.
Mm-hmm.
So once I move out, I'm able to move at my own pace mm-hmm. and work towards achieving that particular goal.
But I mean, you're human.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't you sometimes imagine how your life would have been, because you love kids. You mentioned earlier that you love kids. Don't you sometimes imagine how your life would have been if you had kids, you had, you know, a husband, honey, kolano, you go to school, that kind of thing. I mean, don't you sometimes imagine?
Oh, for imagining, no, because I socialize a lot.
Mm.
I have benefactresses here and there. I do visit some of the families, mm-hmm. and I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
When I get so close to them, mm-hmm. I feel okay. Interacting with them, playing with their kids, and so I'm okay. Not having that desire that I should at all cost should have maybe gotten my own.
But I'm sure
because in this state, mm-hmm. I'm still helping other people.
Okay. Uh-huh. I was about to ask, how about adoption? I mean, but I'm sure you probably have adopted, or you can't adopt.
You can't adopt.
Oh, I see.
But you can take care of, but to go and adopt them and no, to move them out of their homes, no. Power rules, we are not allowed. But now we even have an orphanage in Accra here to Tatton.
Mm.
So if you identify such children, you can recommend so that we send them there and take care of them.
Okay. Mm. Okay. I see. Let's now get back to the conversation about your salary going to a common fund.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, I mean, as a woman, you have needs.
Mm-hmm.
How then do you take care of these needs if you work but you do not enjoy your salary?
Okay, so it's not like I'm not enjoying my salary.
Mm.
It hasn't come to me, but mm-hmm. I do enjoy.
Okay,
how? Because it enters into a common pool
mm-hmm.
and it's being disbursed at the end of the month. So each community,
mm-hmm.
you know, within a congregation, we have smaller communities.
Mm-hmm.
So we have community leaders.
Mm-hmm.
They send our quota to the community leader, who is the local superior.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to make sure that our needs are met.
Okay.
But the issue is because you have taken the vow of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
When you need something, you should be open enough
mm-hmm.
to tell, sister, I need pad, excuse
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
Sister, I need this, I need that.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't air out, then she wouldn't even know that you need A or B or C.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is you can't hold things.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't even get money in that excess to buy unnecessary things, excuse my language. Uh-huh. But if it's a dire need, you approach your local superior and money will be given for
money
you
will
to,
be given to
yeah.
you. Aside the convent's way of having fun, maybe organizing retreats and games and all of that, personally, how do you have fun?
Having fun? I do have fun with my students.
Okay.
Because
what kind
I'm
of fun?
A teacher.
Okay.
Oh, at times I join entertainment programs.
Okay.
And you find me there, sporting activities.
Nice.
Aerobics on Saturdays. I'm there. So for me, I'm all out.
Oh, okay. So
you go for jogging and those things. We socialize a lot.
Okay. How about music? Do you enjoy music?
I do enjoy music.
What kind of music do you enjoy?
Oh, gospel music.
Okay. Oh, indeed.
This choral music.
Okay.
I really love them.
Inti ya no chatawale ni stone boy de.
I no cry de mi huna sa papa.
Oh, so if I should ask you,
at times when we are playing it, and my students will be jumping, they will jump from one into then.
You're wondering,
because I don't even hear the words, and they are able to sing along with them, and they'll be jumping here, and I'm saying, that's their generation.
So if I ask you to give me maybe one worldly person whose music, maybe you know, beat yeah, though, like you know, this beat is nice. You know, you can't tell.
No.
I hardly
listen to but choral music,
right.
I love it so much.
Oh, so if I should say, give me your favorite choral, you know, musician, that one you can tell me.
Choral,
or a gospel musician.
Gospel musician. In fact, I love their songs, but I can hardly associate them with the
music. Hey.
Recently, I spotted one which I love so much. Wunkuto, 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 Wunkuto.
Okay.
Wunkuto, Namdi, Masi, Danina, Mawu, Adum, Nishira, Ebuswa, Mami, Eja, Wunkuto. I love it so much, so I sing along.
Oh. Oh, your voice is very nice. I mean, did you want to be a singer? I mean, was it something?
Oh, a chorister.
Oh, you're a chorister. Yes. Oh, okay. So one day, if I decide to take you to a recording studio, Uber recording,
I'll
you.
Perform perfectly.
Awesome, awesome stuff. So you spearheaded an initiative that renovated and refurbished the Aprate RC Kindergarten School, and also established the clothing and textile resource center. That is remarkable. How did that come about?
Thank you. I once visited my alma mater, KG. In fact, I went home for a funeral. Then I wanted to just take a stroll. So when I got to their premises, I was wondering, I said, this is where I attended KG. But even though the block was there, but I realized that it needed paint. So I met the nominal head. And she took me inside. That was when I realized that they needed more than the paint. In fact, the floor and inside, they were not having any visuals.
Right.
Which will help the learners to learn better. And they were not having play materials at all. And another thing I saw over there was that they were sitting on adult seats. The seats were model desks. They were so high for them. And when they sit, their legs will be hanging.
Right.
So whenever they wanted to write, they have to stand up, place their chest on the table before they are able to write. So I felt the need. So I mobilized some resources and we went back to them. We met the nominal head and the headmaster, the local manager, those people involved.
Right.
And we told them that this is what we identified over there. And at times when it's like that, it doesn't encourage them to even come to school. So I had to mobilize resources to renovate the block, the three-unit block for them. And as if that was not enough, we bought seats for the two classrooms, KG1 and KG2. So 30 here, 30 here. Then we worked on modern table, round table. This time round, we encourage teamwork, group work. So they are supposed to sit in groups. So we give them bigger tables as well. Then we bought seesaw, merry-go-round, and other manipulative materials. Then we had to have a number of paintings, drawings on the wall for them. So now when you get to the place, it's beautiful. It looks so beautiful.
Oh.
So, and it, in fact, their enrollment has gone up.
Kudos to you. But you mentioned, you kept on mentioning you mobilize funds. How do you mobilize these funds?
Through my benefactors.
Okay.
I have some few individuals who support my project and programs. So for them, when I suggest to them, then they will come on board to support. Even most of the items I donate, I have few individuals who support that project. So that's how come I'm able to fund such programs.
Earlier when we spoke, you mentioned a project, an upcoming project that is so dear to you that you want to take up. I want you to tell, you know, our listeners what it is.
Okay. So in my locality, we've realized that a number of boys and girls are out of school. And let me put it that way, that they are school dropouts.
Right.
So what I'm trying to do is to bring them back to school and give them some sort of training that at the end of the day, they will be able to be on their own, be self-reliant. So what we intend doing is to have a place or maybe put up a place so that we can have tools and equipment whereby we can take them through technical and vocational training. Then at the end of the day, they will get some handiwork. With that, they will be self-reliant. They will work and earn their own living as well as contributing towards national development. So that's the major project
you want to
take up. Yes,
right.
Yes.
And so what kind of help would you need?
We will need tools and equipment. So for vocational aspect, we may need sewing machines, dryers, because we want to take them through that various vocations. Then for the technical aspect, for carpentry, masonry, I mean the tools and equipment being used in such vocations, we will need them. Then we need to secure a place as well. So we need cash, whether to rent a place or to put up a place. So it's very important.
So what kind of people are you looking at collaborating with? Are you specifically targeting government? Are you targeting the private you know, institutions and all of that?
I'm looking up to corporate institutions, okay, because government cannot do it alone.
Okay.
That is why some of us, even our own little ways, we try to support. Mm. So individuals and corporate institutions, those mm-hmm. who are well-to-do, mm-hmm. they should come on board to support mm. us.
Right.
And I've been embarking on a menstrual education, menstrual health.
Right.
I moved from school to school to sensitize the girl child, okay, and after that I redistribute pad to
okay.
them. So maybe companies, the very companies that produce pad and those mm. things, they should also support us.
Okay.
We do buy them, they redistribute.
Mm. Okay.
Uh-huh. And those, the publishers too, because so far I have distributed over 3,000 textbooks
okay.
to some schools in the hinterland.
Okay.
They need more. Other okay. schools are crying for the need
okay.
more. So
okay.
if the publishers can also dash us some of their textbooks so that we can donate to such
okay.
schools,
they'll okay.
be happy.
So you're still live on Joy 99.7 FM. It's Strong and Sassy, and we're having a beautiful conversation with Reverend Sister Jacinta Ikuyakwachua Ose. She is a phenomenal woman. And at this point, I'd like to announce our phone lines so you can call in and, you know, tell us what you want to tell her. You can do that via line 030-221-6541. That's 030-221-6541 or 055-111-1997. That's 055-111-1997. But I understand we have our first caller on the phone lines. Hello.
Yes.
Hi, who am I speaking to, please?
Please, I'm Helena.
Helena what?
I saw say.
Does it ring a bell?
That's my old lady. Hey. Wow. What a
Auntie
surprise.
Helena. How are you?
I'm fine.
Awesome. Hey. We have your daughter in the big seat. I'm sure you've been listening.
Oh, yeah.
How proud are you of your daughter?
You see?
How proud are you of your daughter, Auntie Helena?
Oh, I'm proud.
And I ain't catchy. Ain't catchy. Auntie Helena.
Mommy.
Oh, I mean, you are very proud of her. And it means moves that I can't watch you, but what's your say? Right. Catch your end, yeah. One of ne abraba, we decide to say, or bebo, ah, we need you as a mother.
Do, me da ma se. Yeah, you may need you to say. Me ba no, usweny na na ne ne bre adusya. Nti obi school no kura na sikeni ho no oye so obetira ton ton ni amankitin kiti bi se de ebe ebeboa no no de akọ ss sa be na nye free ni ajiska na o hi anso wo ho nti ani ama oton ponya ni o papa bia o kaka duro
oh
enku ni oye ni ade ekuti o we kwa na o de nam
no
sa ko ti se oko SSO atiansi na the manager no no say bra na oko preparatory school no a sato no office school bad ye bechire bi ala ba be kan akire me eti me mo say abofra no we be one ni
no ya
so eti na this year there no fe ni agro
right
eti Roman, I say, Obedi, Roman sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm say, hey, Roman sister, dear, why don't you call it papa? I won't even call na. I'm on a bluffon kwa. And also, meko, no call, will that
okay.
And he, if you are not bad, then I can say, bluffon, but you know, Mac and Tina, I say, acquire be.
Right.
And she, oh, you Roman sister, no, so many age, wabwa.
Right.
Maybe a baby in a cobia or my school, no, any astronomy of a flock. Maybe a cobiano or junior nipa me friend me adwuma makofie o pejuma dodo e be 9 10 11 o si me yesi na nkwara na nkoda se si a yi eh Saint Francis he o da kura ai kayo ki kayo ne eh wan me kasa kura na nkwara no so e be bu me.
But auntie Helena o se na obano ɔde ne na brabo amo nyankopon ɔde na brabo aba for here say ɔno de ɔbɛsom nyankopon all her life eya de papa oye but ohwese na abrabo obo no it is at the expense say wo say no unya wo nana no mo a en how
en ame si say enye me na me fere no or no one can say no, who's close, or no, or can't so obedi, intino.
Right.
Let us say, Yamena, Freno.
Okay.
The man also be a new hooty, and
Yahame. Okay. Okay. Now, Unya Queen, I say, Ube wish it, a dear me and son, Amana, a day, a dear me and son, Obeka. If you have the opportunity to wish three things for her that would be granted immediately, what would that be?
You, the mechanism, you dig out no, you dig out no carry and pass it. Onu no ame niye me ni na basu seya me niye hu ansa ne me ukura me kuwa mechanism samado. Di nyame na mdi ka dana se.
Right.
You dig out so she onu ankasa imkuwa ense. Wey ume ni masi, because na me ni sika. Esu na mdi ni ko school. Ome ni me ni masi. Yenyamdi na kuduru no yenyame tumi yenyame ono ama no kwa yenyamdi na kuduru no waseme no yamdodo.
Okay.
Empo ewiase nyina teacher fo nyina obi enimo no.
Okay.
Na me tante me badu se ya eye mani di papa.
Right.
Eti me dera nkupon ya wa yin se no me dana se pa.
Okay. Auntie Helena ye beda wase na ya toa nkomo no. So with the air, Baba, no, it has to be free. So, a quick translation for those of you who probably are listening and cannot relate to the tree language she spoke in. We asked her about how proud she feels of her daughter. She talked about how good a child she was when she was growing up, how she listened to her, and how passionate she was about taking up the calling of becoming a reverend sister. We also asked her that how does she feel that, you know, her daughter would take up such a role at the expense of giving her grandkids, whether or not it affects her or makes her unhappy. She said not at all, because she has quite a number of kids and they have given her grandkids and she realized that she was passionate about becoming a sister, and so she is not perturbed at all. We also asked her whether or not she would like to wish three things for her daughter, and she was all about how God should uplift her and give her, I guess, more grace and life to continue the path she has chosen. So that was that's a sum up of the conversation we had with Reverend Justin.
I'm even surprised.
Mother. You're surprised, huh?
How you got to my mom's contact?
Yeah, that's what we do at Joy FM.
Oh, okay. Because yeah. She's even not aware I'm coming here. She knows I'm in Cape Coast. So.
Yeah. But I mean, listening to her say all what she had to say, I mean, what do you have to say about that?
That's my mom. Right. She knows me better than any other person.
Right.
My mom is my confidant, so she really knows me.
Right. So we are wrapping up. I mean, I asked her to wish three things that she would want for you. Mm. And she was all about, you know, she was being modest, if you ask me.
Mm.
But I'm going to ask you. I know per the convent rule, you're not supposed to be. You're supposed to be modest and not chase after worldly or whatever. But give me three things that really is on your heart that you need.
Okay, thank you. I would say that I need support for the poor and the needy.
Okay.
They are the very people I want to touch.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm able to get benevolent people to partner me so that I can extend a helping hand to them, I'll be very happy.
Mm-hmm.
And aside that, we have a lot of such people around us.
Mm-hmm.
So I will encourage all and sundry that wherever we find ourselves, we should just look around, identify, search people. The little we can give, it shouldn't be something huge.
Yeah.
The little we can offer them, we should give it out. Because I move from community to community, mobilizing things, giving out to the poor and the needy. I move from one orphanage home to the other, to the extent of extending a helping hand to the prisons and other places, just because I want the poor and the needy also to smile. And when they are happy, I'm happy.
Right.
So people should extend a helping hand to the poor and the needy.
So in case someone is listening and they want to support your initiatives, how can they reach out to you? Or how can they support?
Maybe my telephone number.
Right.
I can give it out.
Go ahead.
0246-360-603. And I repeat, 0246-360-603. So I'll be very much pleased to hear from them.
Reverend Sister Jacinta, it has been an absolute pleasure to have this conversation with you. I have enjoyed myself thoroughly. I've gotten to know you a bit more personally than a lot of people know you, and I'm so proud of you. I'm sure God is proud of you, and you're a very modest woman, and so I'm sure you don't want to enjoy your you know, your blessings here on earth, but I'm sure you know that God will uberinam, like what your mommy told you.
Yes.
Why we don't pay into uberinam. Right. So thank you so much.
I'm also very grateful, to you and your team and to the entire multimedia family.
Right.
I really appreciate the gesture. I'm very grateful.
Right.
And I would like to extend my appreciation to all my benefactors.
Okay.
I'm very grateful to them and my team members.
Okay. Awesome stuff. So that has been our conversation with Reverend Sister Jacinta Kwachiwa Osei. Same